don't exactly remember how old I was, but I remember it happening. The moment I realized how great my dad was. Literally a stud, borderline superhuman. He was homecoming king, game-winning athlete, setting multiple track records, a tough guy, a charming guy, sharp guy, a caring guy, top sales rep across multiple careers. I was in a goose pit hunting with him. He took one shot at one goose, and five geese fell out of the sky. I've heard a few stories along the way about him taking on a badger, about him catching rattlesnakes with his bare hands. Kids, don't do that. And I thought to myself growing up, how in the world is anyone going to walk in these footsteps, let alone his firstborn son? Are you kidding me? This was Dave Pastchin, big number 33. As Roger said, today is about celebrating Dave, my dad, and I want to share a few awesome stories with you that I remember about him. I learned very early that a wise person stays out of his doghouse. A few of his favorite sayings were, "This is it," and that was right about when something really significant was about to happen. Another famous saying was, "If you're like me, and I know I am," and it usually made sense. At a very young age, he would wake me up at 2:30, 3 in the morning to drive out to a casket to go hunting with him. And I'd often drift off to sleep. And right about as I was drifting off to sleep, he'd slap me pretty darn hard and yell, "Arm or bacon?" A couple times I almost hit my head on the ceiling of the car. Some things you may or may not know about my dad, but he got 3 speeding tickets in one day as a pharmaceutical rep, and he got out of 2 of them by challenging the calibration of the radar detectors. I cherish the moments traveling with hockey with him in the car in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska. Usually we were always the first ones there. It was instinctive for him to be a fast driver. Later on, I realized driving fast is fun, but Dad did not like to be beat. In pharmaceutical sales, he would often get places faster than his competition to sell more pharmaceuticals. One story I want to tell is, how old was I? 14, 15 years old. I don't remember how old I was, but my buddy Troy and I were doing some dove hunting. We thought we were outside of city limits. Turns out we weren't. I was driving the car, and instead of stopping and getting out of the car, we just thought we'd just shoot from the car. And Troy shot some doves off a telephone line, which is also not right. And Troy is just getting back in the car, thought he saw a game warden. And he's like, "Ryan, we should go to Kessler's and get our hunting licenses." And the hunting license at the time was $14, and I only had $10, so luckily he spotted me. So after dinner that night, I was downstairs doing some stuff for school or whatever, and the doorbell rang, and my dad came down and said, "There's a game warden at the door." And I was like, "Oh, shit." So I come upstairs, and at the front of the door, my dad laid into me so hard, he turned like 4 shades of red, and I was like 5 shades of white. And the game warden was like, "Sir, just take it easy. It's okay. Take it easy." And I got a warning. And the game warden left. My dad shut the door. And he's like, he looked at me, he's like, "Did you see how that just worked?" Another notorious thing about my dad that Roger mentioned was he's infinitely famous for wishing people happy birthday and happy anniversary. As much as that meant for him to wish that to everybody, I can tell you how much it means for you all to be here today to him. He was a fierce griller. He kept an immaculate yard. And those that knew him well could probably be as confused about this as I am. His car was a disaster. I mean, it looked like a tornado would sweep through the thing. When I was in 8th grade, as my brother and my mom were getting into the car for Christmas service, he pulled me inside and gave me a shot of Jägermeister. And that turned into a little Christmas tradition between him and I. In seventh grade, we were putting the fence up in Aberdeen. And of course, we were using a manual post-hole digger. It took quite a while. Aberdeen's a very humid place, a lot of mosquitoes. And we were getting eaten alive. The sun was going down. And I'm like, okay, this is good. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. He went and drove his truck around to the backyard to light it up so we could keep working. It drew more mosquitoes, too. There was a time in junior high when I was in seventh grade, and all the teachers are like, you know, if you ever have any problems, come to us and talk to us. You know, it'll stay confidential. So I was getting picked on by this ninth grader. He had about 30 pounds on me and 3 or 4 inches, really big ninth grader. And I rode my bike home from Holgate that day, a little scared, a little embarrassed, because everybody at school saw it, of course. And before doing so, I told the shop teacher, because I thought, you know, what they tell you is the truth. You can tell someone and it'll get better. Well, the shop teacher knew my dad. So as I pull into the garage, my dad's standing there. And he's like, you know, what happened to school today? And I'm like, well, I did some math and, you know, this, that. And he's like, well, the shop teacher told me what happened. So he shut the garage door. And that was the first time he taught me the art of nonverbal negotiations. And he taught it well. And I'm very grateful for that. If you've ever hunted with my dad, you probably have a field, a fence line, a section line, or a corner named after you. Such as, that's the section line Ryan missed the pheasant. That's the corner Ryan missed the big buck. He had a lot of pride in hunting with his friends and family. We were very fortunate to have a trip last year with him and Patty to Mexico with the kids. It was a lot of fun together. So these are just a few of the many memories I was reflecting on. And last but not least, I want to thank, you know, my dad for teaching me everything that he has, helping me be a good father, I believe, to my kids and husband to my wife. Personally, Dad, you taught me how to be so strong in so many faces and encounters of adversity. You never gave up, and especially taught me never to give up on myself. And I'll always love you. Dad, you were the world and a friend. You were the world and a friend to many, a family member and a father, but you were the world to us. I learned from the steps along the path that it's not about walking in my dad's footsteps. It was much better walking next to them. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. We needed to hear that. Things that most of us don't know. Non-verbal. That seems like large words. That's what happens when you go from a state college to a university graduate. Amen. Amen. Yes, that's for sure. Last night I had the strange dream. A wish was granted just for me. It could be for anything. I did not ask for money or a mansion in Malibu. I simply asked for one more day with you. One more day. One more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know that it is true. Can you leave me wishing still for one more day with you? Understand that these three guys were about to do some non-verbal negotiations with me when I suggested the way I wanted to do it. And I will need bodyguards as I go.
Well, it's only been about 6 weeks. I'm still somewhat emotional, so you're going to have to bear with me. I hope I can say all the things that I really want to say. I jotted down a few notes that outlined a couple high points I wanted to make sure I hit. And as we recall Dave's life and the time we spent with him, the first thing is, it's so easy to recall how generous he was. Generous with his time, his attention to all the family and friends, and how easily he was able to speak the words, "I love you." Some people have a real struggle with that. They didn't. And we're lucky for that. He blended their family flawlessly. It would be an example for all of us to follow the way he was able to blend that family. Loved Joy and Terry, Buggo and the Elemental as much as any direct descendant, and maybe more. He was a very, very kind, open, honest, and generous with all those kids, Ryan and his family, and my family. When Dave was and Pat were living on here, he would show up at Jefferson for our granddaughter's volleyball games, and not just be in the crowd. He was an active supporter and cheer. He and Larry showed up one time up in Brookings for my grandson's 9-year-old baseball game. I mean, you can imagine how how exciting 9-year-old baseball is to somebody who doesn't really know anybody on the team. But he was there, and again, he was an active supporter, and we appreciated that. So he had a way of, well, everybody knows about his nickname for him, anything and everybody. People that he liked, especially some that he didn't like, had special nicknames also. But those nicknames also rolled off of him pretty easily. He had a self-deprecating humor that he didn't use it all the time, but one thing that I especially remember, in the evening it came time to start getting ready to go to bed, and this wasn't just the last little bit, it was over the years. He would say, well, he'd jump up and announce, well, it's time to go brush my tooth. So away he'd go, you know, get himself cleaned up and ready for bed. But that was not just one time. That was kind of an announcement that he made every so often. Most everything that Dave did, he did really, really well. And he set a good example for all of us who knew him. But there were a couple instances where we found a few little things to poke fun back at him. Ryan was talking earlier about how his dad would refer to that area, the section line where you missed a peasant. Well, we also had one of those. It's a prominent spot. Those that go deer hunting out there with us know the spot. Well, actually, there's a couple spots, but there's one in particular. It's pretty much flat land out in our area, but there's one at one end, there's kind of a big ravine, and it's the best thing we have, so we call it a canyon. But it's only about 50 yards, 40 yards across. And one time, Dave and I were deer hunting. We had sat in the morning for a couple hours, and then it came time to, well, let's just kind of buzz around the edge, the rim of the little canyon, see if we can spot anything. Sure enough, as we get to the tail end of it, again, the canyon was just starting, there's a nice little, I don't know, 4-point buck standing there, just kind of hiding under a cedar tree. And so he it's the closest thing I've ever seen to somebody getting honest to goodness buck fever. Have you ever heard about that? He spots a deer, and he's going to turn around, he's going to shoot it from the pickup. So he starts jamming, trying to get a bolt, the bolt action rifle, the shell chambered. And he's just so, he's got the fever, and he's jamming it too hard, and he can't get it. Finally gets the shell in, takes aim, and he shoots at this about 40 yards away. And as he shoots, a big branch out of a cedar tree about 10 feet above this deer falls right beside the deer. So he's saying a few blue words and trying to get another shell chambered. And then he gets that, launches off another shot, and the deer had only moved about with this building and under another cedar, thought he was hiding. Dave launches off another shot. And that one hit in the ground, and you could see it fly up dirt, right? You know, again, this is all close range stuff. And then I think he got another shot off, but the deer went bounding over the hill. So we always had that spot. We use that as a point of reference, especially when he is around. Said, okay, from that spot where Dave missed that deer, you know, hit the tree, you go this way or go that way. So it was we didn't have a lot of those, but it was one fun one that we got to poke a little fun with him. Then I guess also, Dave was not an excellent singer. But maybe some of you football guys especially can remember or can picture Dave up there singing in front of a crowd. Well, he did that down there at that park in Arizona. So there's Dave up there singing, "Oh, My Darling Clementine." Well, I just thought that would be a good story for all of you football friends to talk a little bit about. But there's more to that story. One of your other teammates was right up there singing with him, "Oh, My Darling Clementine." Larry Sutton. Excellent voice on that guy. Made a memory for us. When we say that Dave loved his family, that includes the Northern family. He talked a lot about his team and some of the friendships and the get-togethers, the phone calls that he would get. So I guess we want you guys to know that he didn't forget you, and he really did love his teammates. I guess I'm gonna end with a story. When I was down there in late January, and he was kind of taking a turn for the worse. So there came a time I was scheduled to fly back home, but I felt like I needed to stay a little bit longer, so I called up Allegiant to ask him about changing my ticket. I remember the receptionist's name that I talked to was Charisse. So, anyway, Charisse said, I need to change my ticket. I want to call you like a day ahead of time so that you have time to resell that ticket or do whatever. But anyway, I just don't want to take that seat. She said, well, first thing, she said, well, did you buy trip insurance? No, I did not. I said, but we're having some, medical things that we kind of need to deal with. And I'd just like to stay book me another seat 4, 5, 6 days out. So, again, she says, well, you didn't buy trip insurance. Yeah, I said, that's water under the bridge. Let's let that go. Just see if you can get me a ticket. Well, she did. But she said, well, let me put you on hold and see what I can do. And she came back, asked a couple questions. And she left the phone open, and I could hear her click, 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 all the things on the computer. So I said, well, we have a minute, and you're putting all that information in. Let me tell you about my brother. And so I told her about all the, he was a gifted athlete, beginning in high school. Track, football, basketball, baseball. He did it all, pretty well. Gets up to Northern. Ran track and played football and had some other fun along the way also. But anyway, so I was telling her all these stories, and I said, they had a pretty darn good team back when he was playing. I said, they got to play, I think it was in 1971 or 72, they got to play for the national championship. I said, my brother always told me this story. Now, I don't know if it's 100% true, but it gets down to late in the game. We're behind, out of timeouts, only at about 16, 17 seconds left, is the way I remember the story. And there's a little bit of panic set in. Dave said, they got in the huddle, and all of a sudden, Ape Nelson says, passion over Nelson on two. Let's go. That's how the final play was called. Somebody here might have to verify that.
No huddle.
Yeah.
No huddle.
Anyway, so they were successful. And so I told that story. And I guess I want to end with the Charisse said, well, it sounds like your brother had a wonderful life. And amen to that. He did.
Good thing we ran through all those tires. Can you, I see you had your phone there. Can you drop a pin for all of us on that spot where he missed the deer? We'll never get to use the story, though. Yeah. know my name. If you saw me in heaven, would you be the same? If you saw me in heaven, I must be strong and carry on. 'Cause I know I don't belong here in heaven. Would you hold my hand if you saw me in heaven? But if the things that we think go on in heaven, then we can well imagine that he now stands up and boldly sings, I belong in heaven. Well, a transition in the voice. Amen. Amen. Well, we have one more family member who is going to share with us, if he's ready.
He's got a bag full.
Treats.
There we go.
I'm convinced Roger put us right after those tearjerker songs, Dale, just so you and I couldn't quite be ready to go. Can't see. All right, well, those that don't know me, my name's Jeff Whiting, and I'm Dave's first cousin. Dave's mother, Isla, and my dad, Alan, were brother-sister. And so wherever we grew up, we were never more than 100 miles away from Gregory to Dallas. So we were we were there a lot, so my perspective, I'm not a sibling and I'm not a son, but I have some pretty fond memories I'd like to share. So start with this. So Dave was a very interesting person, maybe even complex. Dave had a larger-than-life personality that could take over a room. And you always knew when Dave was in the room as soon as that laugh would ring out, and it would, I'll do my best here, the something like that. You always knew he was there. Dave was the guy you just always wanted to be around. Dave had a unique way of earning your respect. For those that made the mistake of being disrespectful to Dave, he could be persuasive to them as well. Dave was ultra competitive, whether it was business, competing in sports, or even a game of cards. Dave was ornery. He liked to fight. He liked to tease. Dave was a loyal man that loved his friends, family, and extended family deeply. Dave was a Christian man with a strong faith, and I would add that my brothers and I flew out to see him the week before he passed away. And one of the first visits we had was, Jeff, I really want to get your opinion on this. And he goes, this is what I'm thinking for my services. You know, I think, should I do one in Gregory? Should I do one in Mesa? Should I do one in Madison? And he goes, I haven't quite figured that out. He goes, guess who's going to do my service? Because he knew I knew Roger. Roger and I from the same hometown. So it's he was really excited that Roger was there, and he was very proud to have you do his service for him. So I just wanted to add that in there. And I'm going to apologize up front if this gets a little long, but Patty never should have given me 2 months to think about what all I wanted to say. So I'll just start a little on the early days. Dave Passion was and is my hero. Dave was 8 years older than me, so my brothers and I were little kids, and we'd just idolize Dale and Dave. But Dave always made me feel special as a little guy. Dave never made me feel like a burden when I wanted to tag along, which was pretty much all the time. He and Dale would drag my younger brother, Doug, and I along and take us along on swimming trips to the river. And they would even take us along on dates to the Gregory Drive-In Theater, which I'm not quite sure how we got away with that one, but not sure what Madeline thought about that at the time, but she is still here, so I guess it wasn't too bad. While I idolized Dave, it didn't take long to learn not to always trust him. And I remember one particular outing we were on, and it was winter time, a lot of snow on the ground, and I can't remember what all was going on, but all of a sudden Dave had this great idea. He says, Jeff, come over here and lay right here in the snow next to this shed. And the next thing, my whole world went black because there was a big pile of snow hanging over the roof of this shed, and Dave knocked it off and basically buried me underneath this snow, and I'm just wondering what happened. And all of a sudden I hear this, and he's digging me out of this snow pile that he buried me in. So yeah, you got the trust head. You had to be careful with that with Dave. I have many fond memories of spending the night. We would go to Gregory in Dallas, and I had one set of grandparents in Gregory and the Whiting grandparents in Dallas, and if it got late in Dallas, we would just spend the night, whether it was at Grandma and Grandpa's house or if it was at Ray and Isla's house. Mostly we wanted to stay over at the Pastion house because that's where all the fun kids were. And I remember the mornings you'd wake up on a morning, and all of a sudden Dale and Dave would move all the furniture to the sides of the rooms of the house, and they'd have a wrestling match. And those two would just wrestle and wrestle. And Dale was quite a bit bigger than you, Dale, as I recall. But Dale was a state champion wrestler, so it kind of evened out. I'm not sure we ever really had a winner, but we'd just sit up in the chair with our feet up so we wouldn't get hurt. And it was all good. Oh, can't get my page turned. It's only like 10 pages here, so don't worry. I know this may come as a surprise to some of you, but occasionally Dave Passion would get in a fight. One Sunday morning, we woke up at the Passion house, and Dave came wandering out. I think there might have been a dance in Cologne or Winter that night, and he comes out, and he sits in the chair. He's half asleep. He's got his hands out, and Aunt Isla would come out and do the knuckle check. And she was looking to see if he had any scars, scratches, bruises on his knuckles. And this particular morning, he goes, Dave, you were fighting again. And she lit him up. And I always remember Marlon Marshall came to his defense that day because the story was, Mom, you don't understand. We were going into the dance, and there was this big guy making this little guy do push-ups. And Dave didn't like that. And so Dave told the big guy that he should do push-ups, and the big guy didn't want to do push-ups. So that's why there was a fight. So I always remember that one. Hopefully, I really didn't make that up. I do remember. Dave was an outstanding athlete that I just idolized as a kid. I have so many great memories of traveling to Aberdeen for the Northern football games. It was great to meet a bunch of you guys that I watched tons of your games. And I particularly remember the big win over Mankato State because they were a Division II school and you guys were only NAIA and they came strutting onto the field. And as I recall, Dave made the touchdown on the last play of the game, diving over the goal line to win that one, which was probably an upset, which was pretty cool. And I especially remember the after-game parties. And I think the junior or senior, whichever one it was, but they were living in this upstairs apartment. So we would go, Dave's folks and my folks and us little guys would go in there. And we just thought that was the best thing ever with all these college girls and everything. It was really, really nice. After college, Dave decided to do some high school officiating. And I remember I showed up at one of my high school basketball games in Woolsey. And I'm thinking, oh, Dave's refereeing tonight. This could really go my way. Needless to say, I fouled out in the third quarter. Dave loved all his family, and he was very proud of his Bohemian heritage. Okay, as Bohemians, we have accepted the fact that we are probably not the brightest bulbs in the box, okay? And as a member of Dave's family, you never wanted to be the Bohemian that screwed up in front of Dave because you were guaranteed to get his famous comment, that's the stuff that gives Bohemians a bad name. Dave had a unique way of welcoming new members into the family. I remember we'd always travel back about every 3 years for a family reunion, and 1 year I had two new son-in-laws that came along, and they met Dave for the first time. And from my son-in-law, Matt, who is a large man as well, but he goes, I only met Dave a handful of times, but he was always so nice and funny. He had the grip of a titan, and I think Dave liked to really prove that he had the grip with that handshake. And then for my other son-in-law, Stephen, said he had a handshake that you remembered for weeks after. And he had a hell of a pinch to the back of your arm that I took as an official initiation that was accepted into the Whiting tribe. We were talking about another story last night where he was pinching people behind the arm. Okay, another initiation into the family had to do with drinking shots of Dave's favorite Bohemian beverages. The two that he was most fond of, one was called Slivovich, the other called Barufka, which we're not even sure that's really the name, but that's what Dave called it. For those not familiar with these delicacies, Barufka is a Czech bitter made of a unique mix of herbs and spices wrapped up in a flat green bottle, and yes, I got that off of Google. Barufka is at least drinkable. Slivovich is a Czech plum brandy. Slivovich is probably the foulest drink you could ever imagine drinking in your life. Patty's nodding her head. So Dale mentioned that Dave always had a nickname for people. So we had an unfortunate family gathering down in Arkansas two years ago now that we all showed up. And, of course, Dave and Dale bring in the Slivovich. And we have to do toast to our cousin Doyle, who had passed away. And he met my girlfriend, Teresa, who was right over there for the first time. And, you know, Dale and Dave, in tandem, are sometimes they're working her over pretty good. And then they finally, I made the mistake of letting Dale and Dave know that Teresa's maiden name was Niederhauser. And, oh, boy, did they start. Then the nickname creation started, and it was like, Niederhauser, Niederbaum, Niederwaffle, Niederhosen, and
They just couldn't quite settle. They didn't think it sounded quite right. And so finally, Dave said, okay, one more shot of Slivovich, and we pour the shot. And Teresa apparently, her body had told her she had had enough of that, and she ran to the bathroom. And at that point, her nickname, Nader Puker, was born, thanks to Dave. So now every time since, hey, how's Nader Puker doing? So it's he just had a way with, and as Dale said, he only gave you a nickname if you liked it. So. Okay, I think it's, a couple other things here. So Dave also had a soft side, and I know some of you knew that, but I'll always remember it's been, hi, come on in. But it's been 15 years ago that my dad was sick and dying of cancer, and we had to put Dad into hospice, and all of a sudden Dad decided he wanted to see everybody again, and a lot of the family, including Dave, dropped everything and came in to see him, and I'll always remember Big Dave walking into Dad's room, and he saw Dad and just burst into tears. So he was just, he loved his family. There's nothing more important. Okay. So to close, I have to go back in time to when Dale and Dave were little guys. And they kind of looked up to my dad and my uncle Fritz, who were brothers 10 years apart in age, but really resembled Dale and Dave a lot in what they did. So there's a story of them taking Dale and Dave rabbit hunting when they were, I don't know, grade school kids. And they got them out there, and I guess on the way back, was it blackberry brandy? They threw a little bottle of blackberry brandy in the back to Dale and Dave, and I guess they didn't know you should just take a sip or two, because they were pretty wasted by the time they got home, and that was another whole issue they had to deal with there. But so, and then the tradition kind of passed on, because Dale sort of did that to me when I was in grade school. Not blackberry brandy. I think it was Budweiser. And so so when we went back, when we heard Dave was sick in February, you know, I had heard that, you know, hey, he's wants to be private with this, offer prayer and maybe a message or two, but that'd be good. And I sent Dave a text, and I said, hey, cuz, I just want to let you know I love you. I'm thinking about you, praying for you, and I really wish you the best. And I got this response back from Dave. And it says, Jeff, Ryan told me that I wanted privacy. Jeff, that is not true. Whitings and Pastions are not that way. We can work out a time that will work for both of us. I still get emotional probably because I love my life. Just be aware, you might hear a big dummy cry, but we can get by that, Jeff. I told Ryan about the Whiting tradition of getting the younger generation to drink a little adult beverage. And Ryan asked why he didn't get in on that. Well, I promised Dave that I would continue that tradition, and it might be a few decades late, but Ryan, if you would step up here, and I got to tell you, this isn't easy, because I'm from Kansas City, and I checked at four different liquor stores. Three of them had never even heard of Slivovich. So I had to call Dale, and he says, well, there's this place in Omaha that if you swing over there, and sure enough, they had it. So come on up. I don't know how Brufka got in here, Dale. But in honor of your dad, now everybody has to watch the look on Ryan's face when he drinks it.
You don't have
it's not 10 a.m. in Denver.
Perfect. Uh-oh. How do we get this open?
I don't know.
I should have maybe been prepared. Oh. Childproof cat. And just so you know, our family is civilized. We actually have a little shot glass. I won't let you do it alone. As much as I hate this stuff.
Oh, we're getting
on the table. Okay, I got you, boys. That's your call. I can't make that call.
Yay!
You want to go halves? Okay. You boys are going to be so sorry you stepped up here.
Maybe just a quarter.
Yeah.
You still have time to go back.
Is this against the law in South Dakota? There. It would be like a little communion cup worth of. There you go. Hold on, I got two glasses here. Yep, perfect. And those boys. Yeah. Smell it first before you drink it, because you may change your mind.
What happens here stays here, guys. We don't talk about this at school.
Yeah, it's like your dad in eighth grade, but different.
You took communion.
To Big Dave. Big Dave. Cheers.
Thank you.
Did you drink it?
Yeah.
You didn't even make a face. Way to go.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
The face that said, I didn't make a face. Little brother didn't do so well.
I don't know what kind of plums they made that out of. But they're... All right, I'll clear the way. You can have the service back. Sorry I hijacked your
thing. That is fine.
Thing.
You didn't hurt us, huh?
Perfect.
I had a perfect plan. It's still going.
Yeah. It's going.
Okay. You don't trip over all my junk.
He doesn't want anymore.
No. I don't either.
Well, we've had a communion service.
They'll never be the same. Oh, my. God's fun, you know? He is. He's fun. He didn't just shudder because we had something like that happen. About a baby boy came to fill the world with joy. I just want to sing this song to you. Goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift with every note I'm singing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Join in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Is so good. Actually, well, my history with Dave started with the Whitings, because for the whole time I was in high school, I had them telling me about Dave Pastian, about how he did in the football games and how good he was. I'll be honest, I thought I could play football when I was in high school. And after every game, didn't matter how good a game I had, they told me about Dave Pastian. Well, I had a big enough ego not to be chopped liver, but you know, that was that. Well, I got a recruiting call from Northern, and so I went up to Northern to check out the school. And Coach Kretschmann made a, I don't know if he really wanted me to come there or not, because he introduced me to Dave Pastian. Dave, not showing the school. Dave's reflection on that was, I hated you. Why? Oh, you had that sweater on, thought you were so hot. I didn't think anything except, this guy's scary. I didn't get a laugh. I got a but I went to school there anyway. And then we showed up and early hazing, just a little. Not bad. And then came the shoe polish night. And the scaries showed up for me. Bill Wilkinson and Dave Pastian. And then I saw the softer side of Dave after they casually attempted to rob me of ever having children. Memories. But they felt pretty bad just watching me. Not so bad that I didn't become David's shoe polisher. 50 years later, he said, how's my favorite shoe polisher? So I served him for my freshman year of college. I polished his shoes. I polished them well. And I don't think that he liked me any better by the end of that year, but somewhere in the next 50 years, he did like me because he told me he loved me. There are just some things that don't need to happen, but that's okay, because I just liked him. Maybe because I felt like I had accomplished something, I lived. I mean, it explains a lot of his behavior toward me when he said, I hated you. And he didn't laugh. And I hated you. So I don't know when it wore off, but I'm glad that it did. But in his own unique way, I served him polishing his shoes, and I'm serving him today. I'm washing his feet. You want to hear about football players. Ape and Bob Warwick. No, we won't go into that. No. Some things can just be left alone. But Dave was. I have enjoyed so much. I try to keep up with the notes that people wrote on his page, his funeral page, and I learned so much about him, and I know a little bit of what he did because of the simple fact that
my wife has had two back surgeries and an electronic, she's been hot-wired, and I know the people that did that for her, and I know that they were in there, and they talked about how Dave was in there, because the job that he had was he was right in there making sure they got wired right, and I thought, wow, you know, he was a lot smarter than I thought. So, I didn't have any thoughts like that, but I did try. I tried to find him just a little bit. And then when he's talking to me, he said, you know, Roger, I thought about stopping and saying hello a lot of times when we drove through Highmore. I said, you drove through Highmore? To drive through Highmore to get to Gregory, you have to go right past my house. I mean, you would have had to at some time seen me in my front yard and looked away. But we didn't get together. But we did have a couple of nice exchanges, a couple of nice times of prayer. And the joy of being able to serve him in this way is more of an honor than you can imagine. Because, you see, Dave also became the answer to a 40-year prayer that I had. Because it was 40 years ago that I came to know Jesus. I didn't go to church, I know Jesus. Going to church, I didn't know Jesus. I'm not knocking going to church, but I came to know him. And the day that I came to know him, I began to think about my football teammates. Because we are a bit of a family. Now, I was fortunate. I came in to a bunch of seniors who probably were more family to those of us who were freshmen that year than the people that we played with later. There was something that went on with those guys, you know. It might have been things like what you just did to those little kids. I don't know what it was, but it was. It was. And so my prayer, I kept trying to finagle a way to be able to share. I would get a chance to share with some one-on-one, and most of them were like, don't call me, we'll call you. You know what, guys, it's true. Roger's Jesus now. He's a Jesus guy. I am, because he gives us life. He gives us joy. He gives us hope. Patty shared that Dave, on his last days, he was listening to that song, Tears in Heaven. Now, the actual last line says, because I know I don't belong in heaven, but I can't say that. And I don't believe that was Dave's favorite line either. But I think that sometimes we always think, I'd like to go to heaven. I spend 2 days a week in jail, chapeling. That's not. Making up for all those times, I probably should have been there. I don't know. But, you know, and that's the thing that I tell them, we just have to call. I mean, call. And remember. And seek. Exodus, God tells some people some real interesting things. He says, those who are evil and who don't seek me will have trouble to the third and the fourth generations. But those who seek me and love me, I will bless to 1,000 generations. Oh, man, I got to tell you something. I read that just this week. I mean, I've read it lots of times, but I read it this week, and it's like, I just jumped out of the chair. I said, honey, 1,000 generations. 40 years ago, God spoke to me, and he said, you're a new generation for my family to start something. Dave gives us an opportunity as we gather together here. There's nobody in this room, including me, who is as close to God as they can get, who can't draw nearer, who can't seek, who can't make a declaration that I'm going to get closer. That can't look in your heart and really know that you haven't arrived. I had a classmate years ago. He used to call me, he used to advertise for me, he used to say I'd lost my mind. Other classmates would stop in and see just how much I'd lost my mind. I'd say, come on in, let me tell you. And that classmate would call me, and he would laugh at me, and we would pray. Then he called me one time, and he said, would you do my funeral? I said, do your funeral? Yeah, he says, I got cancer. I don't know anybody that does that stuff. Would you do my funeral? I said, sure. I'll do your funeral. But I said, why don't we just pray first? And we prayed, and for the next 5 years, he would call me again. And they called me another time, because every time I would pray for him. Every time I would encourage him. Every time he said, oh, yeah. He'd had some of that stuff. Called me again, and he said, would you still do my funeral? I said, sure. But I said, what happened? Because there's something different. He said, well, you know, when you're going to die, you start thinking about God. And so I was talking to God, and God said, you got to talk to Jesus first. I just started crying, because that's the Bible. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. And he knew that. And so he said, so I talked to Jesus, and now I'm talking to God. And he enjoyed the last part of his life. Whatever it takes for us to start to consider a closer walk, whatever it is, it's a good thing. And Dave has given us all an opportunity. It challenges me. You know, pastors haven't arrived. They're hopefully pedaling faster, but they haven't arrived. I always said I try to stay at least a chapter ahead of the church so that I can keep sharing. But people need the Lord. And David, what a history. What a reputation. So many good gifts. He had so many good gifts. And every one of you have good gifts as well. Every one of you has what it takes to touch another life, and every one of you has touched another life. Some good, some bad. Those two little kids are never going to forget what you did to them. Don't worry, boys, I'm going to pray for you. Afterwards, you're going to come up, I'm going to have a deliverance ministry, okay? So as we gather and we honor Dave, and we share, and we encourage one another, I'm praying that the presence of God will just settle on your lives. I hope it settles so much that sometimes you just think of me and want to understand why Dave hated me. Just kidding. No. Because it's important. You know? Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? I don't know if we'd bother with names. I don't know anything about that, but I know that's where we all want to spend eternity. And I have confidence. I have hope. I have trust that Dave is just romping. Or else maybe he's still just like this before the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with his glory. That's what they're doing. They're writing songs. So when you remember Dave, oh man, remember the laughter. Remember the joy. the non-verbal negotiations. Self-control. Remember, and there are no more tears. Yeah. As I was driving here today, in my head, I was singing Amazing Grace. And in my head, I literally could hear all of you singing along. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Dave. Not just the memory of Dave for Dave. Holy Spirit, just flood our hearts, fill the atmosphere, draw us ever nearer, cause us to be yielded and shielded. Let joy unspeakable and full of glory guide our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, that brings this part to the end. Well, we could just worship for the rest of the day. No. We have a lunch coming. As I said before, the mic is on. And you, if you have something you want to say, everybody will listen as soon as you tap on the mic, as soon as you say, hello, I got a memory, everybody's going to want to hear it, okay? And so this is going to be available as long as we're having the luncheon. And I know that there was a request from one of the team, and hopefully Larry Sutton will fulfill that request at some point, whenever he decides to. But I'll just throw that out there. And if he doesn't, that's good. He'll just come and he'll drop up by Highmore and tell me personally. Anyway, so I don't know how the lunch part's going to go. I don't know any of that. But it's now Dave Passion karaoke. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. I don't know how it sounded. That's probably pretty close. Amen. God bless you all.